Good morning, happy Sabbath from here. And the title of the sermon for this moment is At the Sound of Daniel chapter 3. And if you have a Bible present, I would suggest that you will open it up because I'm going to mention a large number of texts. And I remember from the last time I did my sermon, it's a bit hard to get all the texts on time on the screen. So if you got your Bible present, please open it up. Otherwise, take a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the text I will be using during this sermon. Not a lot of people know this, but quite a number of years ago, I was active as a radio presenter for an Adventist radio station here in Holland. For 5 years in the city of Rotterdam, I have, together with some friends, we had a radio station where we played gospel music. And I was young in faith, and I played all kinds of gospel music, all kinds of Christian music. Whatever music you had, and you put the word Christian in front of it, we played it. One day, I invited a non-Christian friend of mine to come to the radio station and to listen what we were doing. So he was sitting in the studio together with me, and he was listening to the music that was playing on the background, and he turned his chair towards me and he said, "Riley, do you try to win me over with that kind of music?" And I was like, thinking by myself, well, this is the music that you like. It's the words I am used to, but it's the music that you enjoy and like. And he said to me, "Well, I rather listen to the music from the top 40 charts than the kind of Christian music that you are playing. It's just a fake of the, what he calls, the original." So I was starting to think by myself, what sound, what music, what voice, what message I am trying to bring to, for him for instance, and it's not affecting him. And I start to think, do I bring the right sound? Do people hear sound doctrine to the music that I was playing on the radio station? What do people need to hear? They need to seek after the kingdom of God. They need to know that Christ forgives for their shortcomings and sins. And they need to know that Christ will be returning soon. And that we only have a few more miles to go. And the question this morning we all have to ask is the sound, is the music, is the lyrics that we are hearing and that we are singing each and every day of our lives brings us closer to the throne of God? Because what kind of songs we as Christians like to sing eventually? We would like to sing the song that only the angels cannot sing. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We would like to sing the song of Moses. We can read that in Revelation 15, verse 3. Revelation 15, verse 3. And what is said of those redeemed? And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous is thy work, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou kings of saints." And what kind of sound we as Christians long to hear when we are living on this stressful and sinful world, what sound do we like to hear? That is the sound of the trumpet, the sound of victory, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And later on, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What song we like to sing? The song of Moses. What sound do we like to hear? The sound of the trumpet. And what words do we like to hear? Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant that has been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We all want to enter into the joy of our Lord and Savior. We want to sing His song. We want to listen to His trumpet. We want to listen to the words of comfort. But something has gone horribly wrong. Because in our lives, actually we're displaying activities that draws us away from the things we like to hear, the things we like to sing, and the things we like to sing to. In Revelation 6, when the trumpet sounds, what says it at the last part of that chapter of Revelation 6? It says that the people, when they hear the sounds of the trumpets and they see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, what do they say? Please let the rock fall upon us. And we cannot stand that the Lord is coming with His mighty angels and with the sounds of trumpets. We like to hear the sounds of trumpets, but actually there will be people who are saying, we can't stand that sound. There will be people, even Christians, who will cry out that they will rather listen to the sound of crumbling rocks that fall upon them than to the soothing sound and the alarming sound of the triumph of our Lord and Savior. And what do people actually are hearing these days? People, and even Christians, they think that they are doing the will of the Lord, but actually, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will, here it's in the children's story, doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have done those wonderful works? And then what are the people actually hearing? What voice are they actually hearing in their lives when Jesus says to them, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And instead of listening to the straight voice of the Lord, people are getting acquainted with the sounds of this world, the music of this world. And in Revelation 18, it actually states that people will mourn when the great angel will put a milestone over Babylon, and people will actually mourn the fact that they will not hear the sounds of this world. Revelation 18, verse 21. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great milestone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and it shall be found no more at all. And, verse 22, and the voice of the harpers, and the musicians, and the pipers, and the trumpets shall be heard no more at all indeed. And it says in a couple of verses before that, that people will actually mourn the destruction of Babylon. People are so acquainted with this world, with the activities of this world, that when that is taken away from them, they will say, oh, it's terrible. It is the sounds, it is the activities of this world that confuses man. And we all know that we are living in a very confused world. Just put on the TV the couple of last days. Nuclear disasters, earthquake, tsunamis, war in Libya, rising food prices. We are getting confused, and Jesus said it to his disciples that the time like this will come before he will return. Matthew 24. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and ye shall be troubled. But for all these things must come to pass, but for the end it is not. People are hearing a confused message, living in a confused world. But what does the people of this world need to hear? Revelation 14. first angel message, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto all that dwell on this earth. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give him glory, for the hour of the judgment has come, and worship him. We need to give the world that lives in the confusion a message that is, Revelation 18 verse 2, the angel cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. Revelation 18 verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that she not be partakers of her sins, and not shall receive of her plagues. People need to hear a sound doctrine, sound words. Words that don't lead to confusion. Remember Lot, Genesis 13. Remember Lot when he lived in a place of confusion in Sodom and Gomorrah, where he pitched his tent, where he dwelt. And he lived around all the confusion, and when the time came, when the Lord sent the angels to warn Lot and his family to get out of Sodom, it took 3 times the angel saying to Lot, get out of this place of confusion, get out, get out, get out. Lot needed persistence in message to get him thinking, I am in the wrong place, I need to leave a place of confusion. Are we so connected to this world and the things of this world that we are not seeing, not hearing that there is a sound message, a sound doctrine, and that we need to hear and to act upon? Just remember the confusion that happened at the trial of Jesus, Matthew 27. When Pontius Pilate brought Jesus and Barabbas before the people, and then Pontius Pilate said, who shall be set free? And then the people started shouting, confusing. The people knew that Jesus was righteous, but the confusion started, the people just shouted, and then they said to Jesus, crucify him. Confusion makes us doing the wrong decisions, the wrong actions. Could it be that listening to the wrong things makes us doing the wrong actions? Can it be that listening to confusion acts us in a way that leads to confusion? Can we hear the clear instructions? Can we hear God's will for our lives? Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 that he is seeking for worshipers in spirit and in truth. Jesus in his life constantly shows that we should hearken after him, his word, his righteousness. And in another instance, the prophet Isaiah makes it clear that the Lord only wants true worship, and that he doesn't take our way of seeing things, our way of spreading a message as the right way, always, only if it is according to his will. We go to Isaiah chapter 1 from verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of thy your sacrifice unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat beasts, and I do not delight in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of the goats. Verse 12. When ye come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand to tread my courts. Here it is that the people of Israel, they're doing the actions, but they didn't put their heart into it. They made sounds and voices and music, but it didn't reach God in a proper way. And when I was thinking about what I was doing at the radio station for a number of years, I was thinking about myself, Riley, this is not really a good thing. Because I was playing Christian songs, and I was displaying Christian music, but didn't really bring the listeners closer to the throne of God. Verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, and I will hide my eyes from you, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands is full of blood. Verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing before my eyes, and cease to do evil. And I was thinking, this is the answer. People need to hear the clear message. They need to hear that they will stop doing sinning and come closer to the court of the Lord thy God. Where does all that confusion eventually lead us? Revelation 13. We read about here from the beast of the earth. And what does the beast of the earth do? Verse 15 of Revelation 13. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should not both speak, and cause that as many who would worship the beast should be killed. The beast is also speaking with a voice, with a sound, and with a message. Verse 16. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. The wrong voice, the wrong music, the wrong sound, the wrong message will eventually lead us to confusion. And eventually confusion will lead up to worshiping the things you actually don't want to worship and don't want to do. Can we be able to resist the voices and the messages and the sounds of this world we're living in? And are we able to listen to the right words? We all know the story of Daniel chapter 3. We all know of that great golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar put up. We all know that they all went into the plain of Dura. Daniel 3 chapter 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had made an image of gold whose height was 3 square cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And actually, we as Christians are in the same situation as we're. This is not our home, this earth, in this sinful state. But just like those 3 Hebrew boys, we are here in a sense of captivity. And we saw all kinds of images that don't we deserve our worship, because we know what deserves our worship. We are here in bondage. We live in modern day Babylon. We are outside of Eden, and we sometimes feel left by God in the hands of the ungodly. And what do you do? What do you do when everything is against you? What do you do when you see the world in a state where it is now and say, I don't want to listen to those sounds and to those messages and to the words, but what should I do? I'm living in this world. Christ in Luke 21 said that we shouldn't be stressed about the situation we are living in. That there will be persecution of the saints. And Jesus said that we will be brought forward before the courts, and that we should give an account of the faith we live by. But we know from Luke 21 that Jesus, the Lord, will give us the right words to say to the people to give an account of our faith. And that's the thing we should do in our lives. We should try to stick with the words of life. And we all know that the righteous words can be found in the Bible. Everything in scripture is useful for our lives. Here is the words that we need to live by. But many people as higher and long after the words of lust, the words of self-gratification, the words of self-righteousness, with this day we hear more and more and more in the sounds, the music, and the voices we hear all around us. We actually call the people that bring these sounds the stars. It's the stars of the music, the stars of entertainment. And we are just like that golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, standing and looking in awe of what this world can do. But we as Christians know better. It's the laws and sounds that confuses men. Daniel 3 verse 4. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kind of music, you're choosing to hear," and then verse 6, "and whose fallen not down and worship it, shall at same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." It's just as the world we live in now. If you say to people, "I don't want to listen to your kind of music because that distracts me from the will of God," people look at you and just, "Well, you can listen to this kind of music, it don't matter. What harm is it for your life? Just listen, just enjoy in what the world gives you. Just enjoy my lyrics." And what do we do? How do we act? How do we react? But we know what God tells us to do. He says, don't worship man or the thing that man has created and done, but worship God. For he is a jealous God and he deserves all our worship and praise. Amen. But it is a terrible beast these days that seeks to change the times and laws and using it by modern day means. Like music that gently changed the public around to his side. And if they don't obey the words and the sounds of this world, they have to follow persecution. They have to follow the love of the people of the world. If you say to people that you like to listen to the heritage singers than to the latest pop stars today, people look at you, "You listen to the heritage singers? Instead of the music of this world, you're old-fashioned." That's what people say these days. But what do you do? Do you turn your way of believing to what the world says? Or do you stick with God? Because God gave us rules for victory. We all know the Ten Commandments from Exodus 20. Rules the character of God to live by. But did you know, and you can read it at home, in Numbers 10. In Numbers 10, directions are given to the people of Israel by Moses and the Lord, how they should act in times of war, and in gathering the people to the camp, the tabernacle, and how they should put up their camp and how they should move. You can read it in Numbers 10. Every time the horn will sound, one time, the people should gather around the sanctuary, the tabernacle. When it sounds many times more, people should break up the camp, go to left or go to the right. When they go into war, another sound is given and the people break up the camp and go to war against the enemies. And every time they did sound and listen to the sound of the Lord gave them victory. But music of this world, the stars of this world, point their fingers to themselves. Just as in the plain of Dura. Big statue. Look at what King Nebuchadnezzar could do. The words this day in song points to our own sinful lust. The words of this day in this music don't point us to the words everlasting as given to Christ. What do you do when you hear the sound of the flute, the psaltery, the harp, the cornet? What are you drawn in your daily experience, in your daily life? What are you drawn into? Do you listen to men which make you go astray? Well, God gave Moses specific instruction what to do with these sounds. In Numbers 10 verse 8, and the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be given to you as an ordinance ever throughout your generations. Verse 9, and if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. If you listen to the right sound in your life, you might be saved from your enemies. What kind of sound did the three Hebrew boys adhere to? What kind of sound does we adhere to? Daniel 3, verse 10. What does the Hebrew boys eventually do? There were people there, the Chaldeans and others, that were pointing out to Nebuchadnezzar, look, there are some people that don't adhere to your sound, that don't like your voices, that don't like your music. They will not bow down. They say, thou, O king, have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the cymbal, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kind of music, fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever not fall down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And we know that there were certain Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that didn't bow down. We don't serve thy gods. We won't worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. Where do we put our trust when we are influenced by the sounds and the music and the words of this day and age? Do we bow down? Verse 17, Daniel 3. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. If we are not confused by the things we see around us, and by the things we hear, and by the things we do, then we are able to say, he will be able to deliver us. Even though people mock us and say, you rather listen to that kind of music? Why don't you go what the world does? Those three little Hebrew boys, they remembered what they learned from a little age on when they were in Judea. They learned that there is a sound doctrine, a sound music, a sound way to act. Psalm 119, verse 18. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I am not ashamed. The question we have to ask ourselves this day is, do I have in my heart that sound doctrine that only can be found in the words of God? So, how can we be able to stand just as those three Hebrew boys? Because we know how the story ends. But how can we be able to stand? Psalm 89 from verse 15. It says there, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, that they shall work, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Thy name shall they rejoice all day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of thy strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Are you the blessed people that know the joyful sound? There's a question you and I, we all have to ask. Because if our joyful sound is the sound of this world, then we are not heading for victory. And we all want to sing the song of Moses. We all want to hear the trumpet. We all want the words that say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What we should do is firstly keep the words of the law of the Bible close to our hearts. A favorite text of mine is found in Joshua chapter 1, starting verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth. What kind of songs we need to sing? The songs of the book. But thou shalt meditate. Meditate upon what? The words of the book. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Do you want to have good success? What kind of music? What kind of words? What kind of sound do we need to adhere to? What helped us to meditate upon the words both night and day? Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid? Were those Hebrew boys afraid when they hear the sound of the flute, the cornet, the harp, and all kind of music? Are we able, are we in our lives able to make a joyful sound? When we hear about earthquakes, when you see the rushing tsunami drive around cars and trains and planes and houses, are we able to make a joyful sound in our lives when we hear about a nuclear crowd coming our ways? When we hear about rumors of wars and wars, how can we be able to be joyful? Or do we feel defeated when the sound of obedience to this world sounds, to the kings of this world, to accept the will of the king of darkness? No, of course not. We don't want to adhere to that. We want to make a joyful noise, just as those Hebrew boys. When you see the trouble of the world arise around you, what does Luke 21 say? What did Jesus say there? When you see the trouble around you, look to the heavens above, because your redemption draws nigh. Those Hebrew boys weren't afraid, because if something might happen to them, they don't worry, because God will eventually deliver them. When we see the rising confusion all around us, we must do two things. Firstly, don't get adjusted, acquainted, get used to, get familiar with the sounds of confusion of this world. So that you rather bow down to death than to be able to stand upright for God. We must be able to stand. There's a song, and maybe some of you know this song. It's sung by an artist called Donnie McClurkin. And he used these lyrics in a song, and I want to read it for you. Tell me, what do you do when you've done all you can and it seems like you can't make it through? Child, you just stand. You just stand. Don't you give up to the storm, to the rain, to the hurt, to the pain. You just stand. We must stand upright, just as those Hebrew boys say, even if I hear all kind of music, even if I hear the things that are bound me to this world, I will stand for Christ. Paul tells us to stand, even when the world says otherwise. 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 11. Paul gave this advice to young Timothy. These things command you and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example for the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which has given thee by prophecy, which is laying on the hands of presbytery. Verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself as them that hear thee. What kind of message, what kind of song, what kind of sound do we bring to this world? Is our lives in adherence to the will of God? And we just know from the children's story, it isn't a secret. We know what to do. We know what to say. We know how to act. We must stand. Maybe people of this world declare us strange, not totally normal persons. They say, you're weird. You're not of this world. Because we say no to the acts of this world, to the false music of this world, to the false sounds of this world, to those things that distract us to meditate upon the word of the God of the Lord both day and night, and keep and make those words part of our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. People may find us strange because we say no to injustice, because we say no to the voices, the sounds, and the music of the world that brings us, and that brings us into a state of confusion, in a state of sin, and we all know what the wages of sin are. We must stand now, so we be able to stand when those trumpets herald the coming of our Lord and Savior. When the world gives their sound, when the world is giving their voices and their own songs, don't come into a situation that you are so acquainted with the sounds and the acts of the world that, just like many of the Israelites who knew the scripture, who knew the word, who knew what to do, was so beguiled and captivated by their new living in Babylon, that they, even while they know better, bowed down to the statue at the sound of the harp, the psaltery, the sackbut. Don't get confused by this world. Because if you're not confused by this world, but if you are strengthened in faith by the word, then we all will be able to eventually listen to the sound we all want to hear, the trumpet. Then we will be able to listen with gladness when the Lord says to us, well done, my good and faithful servants. And then, my dear brother and sister, we all will be able to sing the songs that the angels cannot sing. The song of the redeemed, the song of Moses. Stand and don't be confused, because the Lord is with you. Amen.